Tonight, I'm excited to introduce our speaker in the person of Brother Johnny Skaggs, Jr. He's not only a minister, but he's a publisher of 73 different books, and he's the editor of the Gospel Journal. And, this time, he's going to come, and the topic he has, Becoming a Christian in Today's World, John 3, verse 1 through 5. Tonight, Brother Johnny Skaggs, talk to us.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. So great to be with y'all today. I want to welcome all of our brothers and sisters of Christ and all those who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. If you're with us tonight, we appreciate so much your being with us. And we just pray that you will open up your Bibles with us and study together the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And let God's Word penetrate your heart. You might recognize the need to obey His Word and become a child of God. And I know Brother Tommy, through his work that he's doing, is able to get you in touch with somebody who can help you do that. And we just pray you'll do it tonight. So with that said, I hope you'll open up your Bibles. We're going to turn to John chapter 3. We're going to open up with verses 1 through 5, and then we'll progress for a study as we look at some other things that we need to be looking at as it relates to our salvation. But John chapter 3, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, there was a man of a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The text that we read is about a man named Nicodemus who was asking the Lord a question. And what that question was, we cannot really know for certain, except it had to do something that was of a heavenly nature, as verse 12 indicates. But Jesus said, If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Whatever the question was, is really not important. The important part is that our Lord takes this opportunity to teach one of the greatest lessons of all time. The lesson which Jesus taught Nicodemus has not changed over the years. The same thing that was true then is true today. And so we need to be able to understand what Nicodemus was told by the Lord, what he must do. How can a person become a Christian in today's world? Well, the very same way a person became a Christian in the first century is still the same way that people can become a Christian even today. There are today literally thousands of preachers in our world who are telling you all kinds of things to do in order to have salvation. I dare say that I've heard, in my estimation, everything that a person could ever come up with in order to convince someone to obey the gospel or to obey their teachings of what they think to be the gospel. But I'm not really concerned about what men say as it relates to our lesson tonight. I just want us to be aware that there are many false prophets in the world. And John warns us and tells us to be aware, to test the spirits, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, for many false prophets have gone out of the world. So we recognize that there are those out there in the world who teach false doctrine as it relates to one's salvation. And they do it for various reasons. I'm not going into all that, but I think all of us understand that when man sets out to do something, he accomplishes those things for reasons of his own merit. And we don't want to do that. What we want to do is come back to the Bible. I promise you this, I'm not out looking for money to preach the gospel. I'm not out looking for fame or anything of that nature. I just want to please God, glorify God, and save people and be an influence as much as I can in the lives of as many as I can while I have the opportunity being out here on earth. And so as you think about what the text says in John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus two things. Number one is that one must be born of the water. Well, it's evident here that the water here is baptism. That is, one must be born of baptism. John says, how can I go back into my mother's womb? I can't be born again. I can't enter into my mother's womb again. How can that be? And Jesus assures him that that is not what he's talking about. But verily he's talking about, except the man be born of the water, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then furthermore, he says, and of the Spirit. The Spirit here is simply talking about, in my estimation, about the Spirit's teachings, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings of the Holy Spirit. That is, the body of the Word that we have, the body of the gospel that we have, the doctrine that we have, the faith that we have. And we would refer that to the New Testament, the New Covenant that's been given to mankind today. The Old Covenant had been done away with, the New Covenant now coming into effect. And so when he talks about being born of the water of the Spirit, he's simply saying to search the Scriptures, as it were. Look what the Scriptures say about our salvation. How does one obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he said that's the only way that one can enter into the kingdom of God. We understand the Scriptures according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and verse 19, that the word church and kingdom are used interchangeably. And so what he's saying is that one cannot enter into the kingdom of God or the church of our Lord. It is the church that was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And that great sermon that's preached there, many responded to that sermon by being baptized for remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And the Lord added them to his church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2, and verse 47. And so it is that one can do the very same thing even today. And so we need to be aware of the fact that, the Lord teaches us that we must be born of the water and the Spirit in order to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. But there are those today who do not contend for that. There are those today that says that water is not necessary for salvation. There are those who say that all you have to do is just believe. Or you just have to have faith. You know, that's all you need to do. Some will say just fill it in your heart and that'll be good enough. But I want you to show you tonight that that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us we're content earnest for the faith, Jude verse 3. The faith is one faith of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5, and it's the same gospel that some were perverting in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 through 9. That is, they were coming in teaching another gospel, which Paul said is not another gospel. But he said there'd be some here who pervert the gospel, and he says those who do such, he says, let them be accursed. And he adds to that, he says, if we, being one of the other apostles, or an angel for God, or any other, preach any other gospel to you, that which you've heard, let him be accursed. In essence, there's only one gospel. There's only one body of truth. There's only one faith. And we need to contend with the one faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, though the outside veneer of our world has changed, the inside problem remains the same. And the problem is sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, and therefore we need to find the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. In this very same chapter that we just read in verse 5, on down to verse 16, the text says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is most certainly the answer to our sin problem. And whether it be in this age or the last age or in the first century or wherever it may be, whatever culture we may be in, whatever time we're living in the history of mankind, under the New Testament plan, Jesus Christ is the answer to our sin problem. And so what does the Lord require of us? Well, the Bible teaches this. A person must hear the gospel of our Lord. Romans chapter 10. And verses 14 and 15, and I hope you'll have your Bibles and turn there with me to read those verses. Romans chapter 10, 14 through 15. Once again, Don't take my word for it. We're wanting to know what the Bible says, not what John Skaggs says. But here in Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 14, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Once again, he's talking about how shall we believe, right? Well, in verse 17, he says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What was Paul saying? Very simply, he was saying that God has given us the evidence in order that we can have faith. Faith does not come by any other means than by or through the word of God. It's only through the word of God that we get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So you want to know how to be saved? Read the evidence. If I wanted to know how to overhaul a motor in a vehicle, I know what I would do. I would go get the manual and figure out how to overhaul it. If I wanted to learn how to build a computer, I would go get the manual and learn how to build the computer. I remember years ago, I wanted to print a book that I had written, and I couldn't afford to hire someone to do it. It's too costly. And so I got me a printer, bought a printer and all the things I needed. And my dad said, son, he said, you don't know anything about printing this stuff, you know. And I said, well, Dad, here's the book. I think I can learn. If I read the book, it tells me how to do it, doesn't it? And he said, well, I guess so. And sure enough, it assisted me in learning how to do that. But the same thing is true of God's Word. God's Word has given us the evidence we need to learn what to do in order to become a child of God. So we must hear the Word of God. Jesus said this here in John 6, verse 45, and it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. If you want to know how to become a Christian and thus learn about the Father, then hear the words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. First of all, listen to this. Jesus says that one must believe the gospel of our Lord, of him. Listen to the words of our Lord in John 8, verse 24. I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, most folks understand this point, at least to some degree. However, they stop short of a complete understanding of all that concept of belief entails. How often have you heard someone say, if you believe in Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, then you'll be saved? But probably more times than you care to admit. If believing was all that was needed, then the devils would also be saved. For James said in James chapter 2, verse 19, that the devils also believed and trembled. Well, if believing is enough, then you'd have to admit that the devils, they will be saved, that the devil himself will be saved. However, the Bible does not teach that. We know that. We know the devil will not be saved. He's has a place prepared for him of eternal damnation. And those who follow after him, of course, will fall in the same category. Believing is not enough. Man must act upon that which he believes. A person may believe that he or she can do a certain thing. However, if he or she doesn't believe and believes and never does anything, will they ever get accomplished what they believe in? Well, the answer is no. We recognize, understand, that in the things that we believe, we must put action into those things in order to accomplish that which we believe in. And so it is that we must do so likewise when it comes to scriptures. So we understand this. We must hear the word of God. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And then we must be willing to repent of our sins. This is the point which causes much confusion most times. One might look at this point as if we are looking at a step ladder, and each one of them fall into place or our salvation cannot be enjoyed. Jesus says this here in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Remember we talked about Acts chapter 2, verse 38 earlier? We remember on the day of Pentecost, as the gospel was being preached, those who heard the gospel, about 3,000 of them, apparently, were pricked in their hearts. The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts and said, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and verse 38. Repentance was there in order to obtain salvation. That is, before one could have the remission of sins, they would have to repent. And repentance is simply a change of life. It's a ceasing from sin and starting a new beginning. As Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we're raised to walk in a newness of life. That's what repentance means. That when we go down under that watery grave, having repented of our sins, come up out of that watery grave, being baptized, remission of our sins, we're raised to walk in a newness of life. We have a new life now because all our sins have been forgiven, they've been washed away by the Lord Almighty. And so it is that we must repent, to change our mind, to cease from sin, and to begin living for the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to slip up and sin from time to time. We may do that. We try not to, but through the process of time, we're tempted, and sometimes we fall by the wayside. But when we do, we pick ourselves back up. We're aided by brothers and sisters in Christ to help us and to set us back on the right road that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and continue on that good road that leads to life everlasting. And we'll talk about that just momentarily. But then one must be willing to confess Christ. Make the good confession. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The text says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, to watch this, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So from the heart we believe unto righteousness, but it's with the mouth that we make that great confession. And we confess that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is absolutely essential. It's the idea of acknowledging that we understand, that we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he died for our sins. He is the only one that could do that because he is the Son of God Almighty. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And so we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we have acknowledged who he is, have understood the deity that Christ is, the Son of God that he is, what he's done for us in dying on the cross of Calvary, and that salvation is through his name and only through his name. And when we do that, then we're on the road to salvation. But then we must also be baptized. Now, here's where people, for some reason, just cannot put all this together. I don't know why. Well, I think I do know why, at least one reason why. They've been bombarded with so much teaching that is erroneous in the scriptures that they have a hard time getting away from that and understanding what the truth is. Now, for those of you who know that the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, we have no creed books. We don't follow after any man-made laws. We simply go back to the Bible and speak what the Bible speaks and be silent what the Bible's silent. That's our goal, to do those things. And so when we find a scripture that says something, we simply believe what the scripture says. Now, does it apply to us? Does it not apply to us? Well, that's all a matter of getting into interpretation of those things. But we got to come back and look at the scriptures and say, is this scripture talking to me? Well, look at Mark 16, verse 16. In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus is speaking. And Jesus says, let's turn and read that. Mark 16, verse 16. I want to make sure we get that right, and I want to make sure I give you time to get there so you can read that. So that's what this says. He that believeth and is baptized is saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The Lord requires two things. He that believeth and is baptized. The word and there is a connecting word that connects two elements together, making them of equal force. And so what one stands for, the other stands for. Now, someone comes along and says, well, I believe all you have to do is just believe. Well, is that what Jesus said? No, that's not what Jesus said, is it? Jesus said, he that believeth and, that connecting word, making baptism of equal force of believing. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Someone might say, well, he didn't say believe it and not be baptized. Well, it's not necessary. If one doesn't believe, then one's not a candidate for baptism to begin with. Believe always follows baptism. And so one must believe, and then one must be baptized. Now, turn with your Bibles, if you will, to another passage in Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. Here the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Very clearly, Jesus says, or Paul says, that we're to be baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. This baptism is a reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the text here bears that out as you read through Romans chapter 6. And so what we could not do on the cross, Christ having done that for us, has called upon us to be baptized, to wash away our sins, to rise up out of that watery grave, to walk in a newness of life, to walk, to be a new man, having our sins washed away at that time. Of course, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we just referred to that. And then back to John chapter 3, verse 5, that we started out with in our this evening in our first beginning of our study, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily I say unto you, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, that's true then. My friends, guess what? It's still true today. One cannot escape that. No matter what man may teach today, one cannot get away from those things being true even today. I want you to leave you with another scripture in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 27. The text says, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It goes on to say, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now watch for verse 49. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Well, we all want to be heirs of the promise to Abraham. All the way back in Genesis, we remember that Abraham was promised that through his seed all nations would be blessed. We understand that was talking about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so that would be you and I talking about you and I being blessed through the seed of Abraham, through the promise that was made to Abraham. But how is that accomplished? Well, the text says, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. By being baptized into Christ, as it were in the eighth day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 38, by doing that, we are now heirs to the promise that was made to Abraham, lo, those many years ago. What a great thrill that ought to be to every person to hear the gospel message that we can become heirs to that promise that was made to Abraham all those many years ago. And one day, we can be a God of all eternity. Well, let me quickly remind us of this as we come to our salvation, that one must be willing to live faithfully. We often stop short of living the way God wants us to live by thinking, well, if I'm baptized, I've got a ticket straight to heaven. But we have to realize that there's a life that we must live too. And God wants us to live a life that is in accordance with his word, one that brings glory and honor to him. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, The text says, "If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the lust, the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, elimination, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rebellions, and the such like. Other which I tell you before, as I've often told you before, in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And he's talking to Christians, remember? The book of Galatians is written to Christians. And so he says, those who do these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lust thereof. So if we walk, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. And so to live a Christian life is absolutely essential. And to understand that we must continue to live that Christian life. Now, the thing that we need to recognize this here, that as I said earlier, that we do mess up sometimes. And we do things we ought not to do, bringing displeasure to God. But God gives us another way to take care of that. That is, we don't have to be baptized every time we slip up, being a Christian. Here he says in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, if we walk the night as he is the night, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Now watch this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we do slip up and make mistakes and sin, we can go to Heavenly Father and we can pray that God forgive us, and God will abundantly forgive us. And so we need to recognize that we must live faithfully. And then, of course, the idea to be restored back whenever we fall away from the grace of God. Well, I hope that you'll think seriously about this lesson tonight and ask yourself, are you a child of God? And if not, now, not according to what John Skaggs says, okay? What I've done tonight is I've opened up the Bible, and I've looked at the Scriptures, and I've showed you what the Scriptures say, and let the Scriptures lead you to do that which you know you ought to do, simply obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be someone tonight is listening to the lesson, and it may be that you have understood that you need to obey the gospel of Christ. And if that be the case, I pray tonight that you will get in touch with our good brother tonight, or find someone in your area that you know is a faithful member of the Church of Christ, and ask them to assist you. Brother Tommy will do everything he can to assist you. So I encourage you to get a hold of Brother Tommy and ask him to help you to obey the gospel, and he'll do that. And I'll tell you what, I believe Brother Tommy, I know him well enough to know that if you were to call him tonight, he would stay up until he found somebody tonight who could get you into the body of Christ this very night. God bless you. May your study be great.